Chapter 27. How am I going to be able to check out the loose brick in the fireplace at the Carver home? I asked Ulysses. Was it loose because of age, or could it be a hiding place? Ulysses laid his head on my knee and stared at me with soulful brown eyes. I know, I said. You're perfectly willing to help. I could think of no possible excuse for going back to the Carver house. I couldn't just show up and say I had come for tea. Would Myra know anything about the loose brick? After all, the kitchen was her domain. Tonight, I'd try to sound her out without telling her I had found it. Would she know what Pearlie and Elbert were planning? Or Vida? Was Myra ready to confess to murdering Miss Evangeline? Or did she know who had? What had Cade learned? I hadn't heard from him since he called telling me Ken was gone. And what about Ken? Why did he leave without letting anyone know? He certainly looked guilty, but I couldn't believe he was so heartless as to murder Miss Evangeline. Then there was the death of Lila Fletcher. Were we dealing with two murderers? It seemed far more likely that her rant at Miss Evangeline's funeral was the direct reason she'd had to die. Surely it was only one murderer who wanted to make sure Lila didn't tell anybody of her suspicions. Perhaps I should try to talk to Jules again. He seemed the most approachable of anyone at the mansion. I smiled, thinking of his alias. When I saw him again, who would he be? Did he ever revert to being Jules Thatcher, or was it more fun to take on the persona of someone from his favorite book? The hours seemed to go slowly, but I felt elated. Maybe at last I was making headway on ferreting out the murderer. Even another rainstorm couldn't dampen my spirits. At last I was going to talk to someone who was close to Miss Evangeline, someone who seemed to want to tell me something important. I decided to start a little early for Myra's house. If she hadn't finished her chores at the mansion, I would sit in the car and wait. The ringing phone stopped me as I picked up my purse and started for the door. Caller ID showed unknown caller. Usually I ignored this type of call, but something prompted me to pick up the receiver.
"Mrs. McNeil?"
a guttural voice asked. I had learned not to answer with a yes, because if the caller happened to be a telemarketer, I might inadvertently be agreeing to who knows what. "Who is this?" I asked.
"Never mind," said the voice. "Just stay out of what doesn't concern you. Keep away from Myra Edwards. She's dangerous. She's the one who killed Miss Evangeline. She's planning to kill you, too. Be smart and just stay home tonight."
A click came through the line, and then the dial tone. My scalp prickled. Slowly, I replaced the receiver. Who in the world was that? Somebody was warning me away from my appointment with Myra, but why? Was what the caller said true? Was Myra the murderer? And who knew about the appointment? Had someone overheard us at the luncheon, or had Myra told somebody I was coming? I hesitated between the phone and my purse, staring into space, trying to assimilate the call. Evidently, the caller had disguised his voice. It must have been a man. Surely a woman's voice would not be as coarse. One thing was obvious. Someone didn't want me talking to Myra. I doubted that the caller was really concerned about my safety. The phone message was a threat. Remembering Myra's hurried words and the fear evident in her face, I felt she had been telling me the truth. She was afraid of someone at Carver Mansion. She knew something that was a danger to her. Even now, waiting for me to show up at her house, she was probably as nervous as I. The caller had told me to be smart and stay home, so I would do the opposite. I had to know why I had been warned. Picking up my purse, I walked to the door and got into my car. Maybe Myra held the key to this puzzle. I was determined to find out.